Absolute Power by Mark Taverner, starring Stephen Fry and John Bird.
Clive, what made you choose a career in government media relations?
Well, your advertisement said you were seeking a young graduate who combined high intellectual calibre with proven business acumen.
Yes. Clive, what made you choose a career in government media relations?
I applied to Prentice McCabe because you are the leaders in the field.
You're not a plant from a commercial rival, are you? A sort of one-man spoiling operation. Look, old chap, I'm not much given to doling out Force 9 rollickings. It cuts into my spare time. It's a terrible effort, frankly. But look, sit down, old chap. This poster campaign, have you seen the little piggies leading piggy lives? You can see them out for dinner with their piggy wives.
It's a quotation from the classics.
Yes, the Beatles are slightly more my generation than yours, actually. I am familiar with the quotation. I just question its relevance in a campaign to promote vegetarianism amongst the over-45s.
I thought it would grab the attention.
You were right.
But, Martin, you're the one who gave me the idea.
I did?
Yes, remember, you came back from lunch on Thursday at about 5:20, and you were a bit...
tired and political, yes.
Well, yes, and you said, don't you know the trouble with this country, young Clive? We're a bunch of self-satisfied, face-stuffing pigs wallowing about in our own muck.
Well, that's different. It's different for two reasons. First, because I was drunk. Second, because I am a senior partner and you are not.
Charles, over here.
Ah, over there.
Are you sure this is safe?
Of course this is safe. This is a dinner to celebrate outstanding achievement by British tennis players. There's nobody here at all.
Charles, we have a problem.
And you need Prentice McCabe. Excellent. What is the problem?
Reality.
Reality? Well, sure I can fix that for you. How are you placed Tuesday afternoon?
Charles, the Prime Minister doesn't like reality. He doesn't really do reality. Reality's sort of hard and knobbly and horrible. Look, let me explain. This is the era of delivery. It's the era of substance, not spin.
Yes, do you know, I think that has some claim to be the biggest lie in political history.
But it isn't. We can't get away with lying anymore.
Well, no wonder the Prime Minister's so fed up.
The reason, the main reason for this meeting, is the health service.
Ah.
We promised to make it better.
Yes.
And we haven't.
No.
Well, what are we going to do?
Well, I'd love to help you, of course, but as you well know, Prentice McCabe do presentation, manipulation, deviation, dirty tricks and filth. We do not do running the health service.
Look, I don't exactly know what I want you to do, but the NHS is in crisis.
Yeah.
Unions are rebelling.
Yes.
Backbenchers are revolting.
Yes.
Charles, help.
Your claret, monsieur.
Ah, thank you, Maurice.
Maurice, monsieur.
Maurice, one man may be dripping with bread whilst another must live on bread and dripping. Get back to the bread and dripping, Maurice.
Oui, monsieur.
What exactly does Archie expect us to do?
Well, I asked him and he was very helpful. He said, I don't know. I suppose what Downing Street wants is what it always wants. Something grubby, unethical and utterly disreputable.
Oh, well, in that case, I'll have another claret.
But Martin said to do it again.
Yes, yes. Well, silly, but what he meant was do it better. You see, the thing is... our brief, young Clive, is to promote healthy eating amongst middle-aged men. Now, I appreciate the concept of promotion is alien to you and on the basis of your performance, so it should be. But promote means positive. It means feel good. It doesn't mean a caption saying... beware the sins of the flesh over a medieval depiction of hell.
But I wanted to drive the message home.
What a complete trainee you are. Ah, Martin, thank heaven.
Morning, Charles. Nippy out there this morning.
Morning, Martin.
Young thing.
Martin, this wretched healthy eating campaign.
Simplest thing in the world. Pose for a happy-looking middle-aged chap and a strap line saying, oh, I don't know, more fruit, more vegetables equals more sex.
Exactly.
Clive?
Yes?
Do it again. I suppose it's a bit early for a sherry, is it?
It's 9:15, Martin.
Yes, yes, right. Right, now, the health service and why I've cocked it up good and proper by Tony Blair. Let's approach this analytically. What is the Prime Minister good at?
Feeling your pain.
Yes, that's good.
I mean, not actually curing it, just feeling it.
Now, that would have been better politics. I may not be able to cure your pain, but I want you to know that I feel it.
Instead of which, the PM looks as if he's personally responsible for every arthritic joint in the country. Every delayed operation is laid at the door of Downing Street. How very silly of him.
How did this happen?
Well, it happened during the election, if you remember. Archie said, look, we're going to spend 4 weeks denying charges of sleaze and spin, so you two better leave the country.
Oh, yes, so we weren't there to give our advice. Mm. We never advised this, would we? I mean, young Clive would never have advised this.
Well,
it's all right, yes, he would.
Oh, we see the problem, Archie. Here is a man who has built a superb political career on saying nothing. He's brilliant at saying nothing. It takes him to the top of the Labour Party. It takes him to 2 landslide majorities. And at the height of his powers, the crowning triumph of his career, he unlearns the lessons of a lifetime and says something.
And not just any old something. I will deliver on the health service.
An act of roaring political insanity. Archie, you cannot deliver on the health service. It cannot be done. The demand is inexhaustible.
And the customers are people in pain. And when people are in pain, they moan.
And these are British people. When they're not in pain, they moan.
And every hostile tabloid will dig up a sob story and use it to bash the government. You boxed yourself into a corner, old boy.
That is why we employ Prentice McCabe, old boy. Unless, of course, your Downing Street retainer is no longer important.
Oh, my dear Archie, no, of course. You must understand this invoice will be on a slightly different scale from any previous invoice.
It may take 3 removal vans just to deliver the invoice.
But as we stand here shivering in the waiting room, I think I hear the faint but distinct rumblings of a wheeze. I don't care whether he fiddles his taxes or fornicates with flamingos. I want filth.
Oh, I do love to see a man who's happy in his work. Who's the victim of the filth?
The General Secretary of our largest public sector union. Listen to this. Listen. My members will not tolerate the government's health service reforms. We are ready if Downing Street wants a fight. Oh, well, my dear, it does.
This is the wheeze.
Well, it's part one of the wheeze, yes. Let's give the opposition a good monstering. By the time I've finished feeding the tabloids with muck about this General Secretary merchant, he'll feel like all the bedpans of the world have just been emptied over his ludicrous proletarian features. My members will not tolerate. What does he think this is, the 1970s?
It does sound charmingly archaic, doesn't it?
I wonder if he's got a patio.
What?
Well, it rhymes with fellatio.
I think it does, isn't it? Fellatio.
I'll do the annoying pedantry, Martin, thank you. Anyway, who cares? Fellatio.
Let's call the whole thing off.
Archie, feast your eyes on these.
PM denounces skiving hospital porters. Britain's caring professions are neither caring nor professional, Downing Street in shock claim. System cries aloud for private sector efficiency. Good grief. Charles, you don't think that's a bit strong, do you?
Ha ha, wait till you see the next one.
Prime Minister slams nurses. What? You're no angel, says Blair. Oh, Lord.
Archie, you've gone a bit pale. Do you need a doctor?
Charles, this government does not attack nurses.
I think you'll find it does.
No, Charles, there are some people you just don't attack. It affronts the British sense of fair play.
So do I. I was put on this earth to affront the British sense of fair play.
Well, yes. But even so, my hospital hell, 76-year-old Pete Richards, told our reporter it was terrible. They were supposed to be looking after us old ones, but every time I broke wind, the staff nurse held up scorecards. Martin, does this campaign have your full support?
It has none of my support.
What?
It's an outrage. It's a crude, crass attempt to soften up an industry for privatisation by discrediting decent, hard-working people.
Yes. The question is, will it work?
Sandy.
Hello, Mr. McCabe. Well, this is just like old times. Me paying for the drinks.
Yes, sorry. I meant to get a few quid out of petty cash, but it seemed to be empty. The office has been in a hell of a mess since you left. Why did you leave? Was it the money?
Well, yeah, it was partly that.
Was it having to do all the photocopying and filing and all those ghastly things? Lack of promotion opportunities? These things take time, Sandy. If you'd stuck at it, one day you could have been a partner, like me.
Yeah, I did dream about that sometimes. See, the thing is, it wasn't not getting promotion, it was just... Well, if you'd offered me promotion, I wouldn't have taken it.
What? Well, you'd get an expense account and a claret allowance. Free golf lessons.
I don't want free golf lessons.
But why would anybody refuse a promotion?
Remember when I first joined Prentice McCabe? and you said you offered a structured training programme to further my career skills. Well,
that may have been a slight exaggeration.
Exaggeration? It was a lie. I didn't mind. Some of the biggest plonkers I've ever met have worked in training. But that's what it was always like. Lies. You make your living out of lies, and, well, I didn't want to do that.
So what are you now, personal assistant to Fergal Keane?
No, I'm a nurse.
Archie, what are you looking so worried about? Everything's going swimmingly.
Well, yes.
Well, isn't it?
I suppose so. It's just all these attacks on doctors and nurses, it's very high risk in terms of public opinion. It's not as if we're attacking social workers. You're on very safe ground attacking social workers.
Well, yes, but where would be the fun in that?
I just hope you're not forgetting, Charles, that this is a caring Prime Minister, somebody who just opens his mouth and covers you in maple syrup. Somebody who oozes like a...
cheesy abscess.
Yes, no!
Archie, of course you are quite right. That is why, to every wheeze, there is a phase two. Now, phase one is softening up public opinion for the privatisation of the health service. Phase two is, let's remind people what a deeply caring person their Prime Minister is.
How?
What is it that makes the British people go, ah?
Babies?
Oh, he's done that.
Mo Molem?
He's done that.
David Beckham?
He's not doing that. No. No, Archie. Animals. Pets. Your average British citizen says, you can do what you like with my public services, but heaven help you if you mess with my cat.
Not cats, Charles. Cherie doesn't like cats. There was actually a cat in Downing Street when we moved in.
Oh, yes, good Lord. So there was Humphrey, wasn't it? Whatever happened to Humphrey?
I think we served him in a fricassee to the Prime Minister of Belgium.
Oh. Oh, well, Archie, what I'm thinking is a llama.
What?
The Prime Minister must get a llama.
Charles.
Well, for pity's sake, Archie, crank up the starting handle, put it on fast forward, do something to get the brain cells working. Now, listen, strategic purpose, to get shot of the public services so we can blame them on somebody else. Means rubbish the workers, curses to nurses, doctors are the dregs, and so on. Prepare public opinion. But then reinforce the message that the Prime Minister cares. He's only doing this because he cares. And, of course, it doubles as a diversionary tactic. Who's going to be listening to boring old politics when the entire nation is going, ah, at the PM's new llama? And, of course, entering our national competition to think up a name.
It was the lead story on BBC Television News.
Well, that is rather the bottom end of the market, isn't it?
Seriously, I turned on at 10 o'clock and never mind earthquakes, never mind wars, never mind dismantling the public services.
Precisely.
The top story is a blessed PM sandwiched between two llamas.
Good picture, you see, and rattling good story.
And the Sun is running a phone-in poll on what to call the wretched animal. Apparently they've had nearly 1 million votes for calling it Prescott. Charles, have we really sunk to this?
Yes, I think you'll find we have.
Are we really so daft, so tabloid, so dumbed down?
Yes, I think you'll find we are.
Well, it makes me feel like giving up.
And it makes me feel like getting rich.
Meanwhile, the government gets away with murder.
Well, that is rather the point of the exercise. It's why Downing Street employs us.
Yeah, thank you. They are rather sweet.
You see?
But that is not the point.
Yes, it is.
Charles, there's a problem.
Archie, there isn't a problem. We've rubbished the public sector dinosaurs. They're ripe for privatisation. We have depicted the PM in his most cuddly, caring, trust-me mode. Private sector, here we come.
Up to a point.
No, not up to a point.
The thing is, Charles, there's a problem about the llama.
Well, what sort of a problem? Is it incontinent? Is it too pretty?
Well, no. The problem is the provenance. It's a private sector llama.
What?
It was given to the Prime Minister by one of the companies we're hoping will take over parts of the health service.
I don't believe this!
Only the press have dubbed it Sleazy the Llama.
Archie, you are a grossly overpaid government advisor. You can't even do a simple thing like buying a llama without cocking it up.
That's the least of your worries, Charles.
It is not the least of my worries. I slave away to make the Prime Minister look caring and compassionate, and what happens? He's pictured on every front page with Sleazy the Llama.
That, as I say, is the least of your worries. Does 1926 mean anything to you? Something that happened that has never happened since?
England beat Australia at cricket. A member of the Conservative Party said something sensible, and Last of the Summer Wine was on its fourth series. I don't know what.
You haven't seen the Sunday Times?
Well, not since about 1926, no. I decided my weekends could do without a cheap, tawdry, tit-and-bum apology for a serious newspaper, so I changed to the News of the World.
Britain is facing its first general strike since 1926.
What?
The government's plans to let the private sector run the health service are opposed by 93% of the British people, a poll revealed today. And a staggering 71% said they'd be prepared to down tools in support of health workers if the government presses ahead. This could be our poll tax, said one Labour insider.
Let me see that. Opinion pollster Professor Bonkers Bob Worcester said, our extensive research shows that nurses are more popular than politicians. And here's my invoice.
Now, this raises a number of very serious questions.
Oh, well, it's good of you to point that out for me, Martin. I don't think I've got there on my own.
First of all, why don't we give this up and become opinion pollsters? I could be Professor Martin McCabe and talk out a bilge on the Today Show for large sums. And the second question it raises is this. Does a general strike include off licences? Let me just get this straight. You're telling me that next Wednesday, as a matter of conscience, you won't do any work?
I'm very sorry, but yes.
And this is in support of the health service. There isn't anything else you feel strongly about, is there? What about badgers? They must be good for a fortnight.
But I did stay here the whole weekend, so the Healthy Eating campaign is up to date.
Oh, good, good.
What do you think? Don't you like it?
Clive, I like it. I love it. It's just, I'm not sure how the Advertising Standards Authority will react to a fat, naked man looking forlornly downwards and saying, can you see my point? Because I can't.
You did suggest a sexual theme.
Yes. Clive, you don't feel like going on strike now, do you?
Charles, I'm a simple man.
Yes, yes, you really are, aren't you?
I'm going to use simple words.
You usually do.
This is the biggest slash-up in the history of British politics. Your strategy was supposed to unite the entire country.
Well, in a very real sense, it has.
This general strike must be stopped. If it's not stopped, you will be fired.
Right.
Sacked.
Indeed.
Dismissed. Summarily executed. Hanged, drawn and quartered, and given a right seeing to.
Archie, I'm anxious to be clear what you're saying to eradicate any niggling ambiguity.
You will be shot at dawn. Your private most parts will be penetrated by a bespoke poker, and vultures will nibble your bits.
Just so that I can be sure we're all singing from the same hymn sheet?
If you do not stop this 1970s strike nonsense, you will never eat lunch in this town again.
Oh, God.
So, you're really going ahead with this, are you?
Of course we are. The entire country's supporting us. The media are supporting us.
Yes, 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 they are, aren't they? Remarkable turnaround, really. Do you think the editor of The Sun suffers from short concentration span? First you get, privatise these lazy scum. 24 hours later, the same paper says, hands off our angels, yes to the NHS. Well, one or the other, but not both, really.
The thing is, he succumbed to our highly professional media operation.
Sandy, I'm quick on the uptake about these things. You're trying to tell me something.
Press Relations Officer, London Region.
What about it?
That's me.
What?
Yeah. We had a meeting about this day of action, and everyone said, didn't you used to work for Prentice McCabe? And I said, yeah. And they said, well, you must know how to manipulate the press, so you can do media liaison. I think I'm doing quite well. And I owe it all to Prentice McCabe.
Oh, I'll tell Charles, he'll be thrilled.
Anyway, I've got to rush. Lots to do before the day of action.
Oh, well, there's an expression I haven't heard for a few years. It's a day of action. So we all sit on our bottoms and do nothing at all.
Now, you have lots of days of action, don't you, Martin? You're the world's leading expert.
Yes, yes, and naturally you do not require my assistance.
Require your assistance? Of course not. You know, you may have noticed these past few months, I've been a bit odd.
I noticed that 20 years ago.
Thing is, Martin, I was desperately hurt by a woman. You probably weren't aware of it. I don't like to go on.
Well, you talk about nothing else for months on end. Please, not that again.
Precisely, not that again. I am cured. You know, it's a funny thing, love.
Oh, no, not the love monologue, Charles. I'll put up with a good deal. I will even put up with sublimely irrelevant references to Jimmy Connors, but I will not put up with the love monologue.
Quite right. Was I put here for the love monologue, or was I put here for filth, mischief, mayhem? Martin, I'm reviewing the situation. I'm a bad one, and a bad one I shall stay. You'll be seeing...
Charles, there's an embalmer's next door.
Clive!
Yes?
Ring Archie on the confidential hotline and tell him I have got it.
You've really got it.
Yeah, it's a trifle. Archie, one of the most basic rules of government media relations. What do you do when confronted by a big story?
This general strike is not a story, Charles. It's real. It's going to be ghastly. Stockbrokers holding hands with dustmen. Kensington nannies kissing Billingsgate fish porters, all of them united in a detestation of number 10.
But treat it as a media event. Now, people care about the health service, but what do they care about more?
Well, animals.
No, even more than animals.
Money? Football? Who's shagging who?
Yes, but hardly adequate for our purposes. No, the nation cares most about its children.
Well, yes, but what about the children?
No, don't look so worried. I'm not proposing the slaughter of the firstborn, Wheeze. It's appealing in its way, but it lacks originality. No. What I'm suggesting is a health scare. A health scare affecting the nation's children.
Ah.
Now, I threw health scare and children up in the air, and I came up with the answer. Fish fingers. And I've taken the liberty, naturally I've kept you out of it, of taking steps to ensure that this is fully covered in tomorrow's newspapers. Major health scare as toxic fish fingers invade supermarkets. The parents of any child who has eaten even half a fish finger in the past fortnight are strongly urged to contact their doctors. Hospitals on full alert. Epidemic of food poisoning confidently expected.
But is this true?
No, do try to keep up. Of course it isn't true.
But you can't go spreading bogus health scare stories. We'll be sued for millions.
No, we won't. Rupert Murdoch and Conrad Blackwheel. But what the hell, they can afford it. Then, of course, there are the anarchists.
Sorry, what anarchists?
The ones who are going to turn a peaceful demonstration into an ugly encounter featuring disgraceful scenes. That ought to deter Middle England, wouldn't you say?
You haven't actually been encouraging anarchists on the government's behalf. Tell me you haven't.
Haven't I? Well, no, perhaps I haven't.
So, what you're proposing is to counter a nationwide, universally supported day of protest by a mixture of fish fingers and violence.
Exactly. In the immortal words of James Scott Connors, I've won a lot, I've lost a few. I guess I'm doing something right.
The Prime Minister appealed to the strikers to think again in this grave situation. The Times. Called it off for the kids. My God, the sun's changed its mind again.
I'm particularly proud of this one.
Well, Conservatives plan to put taxi meters in ambulances, do they?
Well, they do now. It's all part of the mix. Make people think about the alternative. Oh, Martin, if there's to be filth, let there be lots of it.
I must say, Charles, I can't remember the last time I saw you looking so happy.
Captain Birdseye is seasick. I rather like that one. Good old Financial Times, eh? Yes, I suppose I am happy, really.
Yeah, the fish finger manufacturers described the story as a total fabrication and dismissed it as the work of government spin doctors.
And how right they are. And how sadly buried at the bottom of page 17. Ah, the bells, the bells. Strike cancelled. Well done. Meeting required. Archie. Flick the radio, Martin. There's a good chap. Let's enjoy our moment of triumph.
On behalf of health service workers, we in the organising committee would like to thank the British public for their great support. If this is a real national crisis, we in the public sector will meet it without private companies coming in and making profits out of people's illnesses.
Hear, hear. Sorry, Charles.
If, as some people have suggested, this is a bogus crisis, then we have been well and truly shafted.
Sandy's come up in the world a bit, hasn't she?
She's rather good, isn't she?
Well, not exactly a polished performance.
No, but it did have a kind of piercing honesty. Piercing honesty is not really in your repertoire, is it, Charles?
A disaster, an utter disaster.
But 2 weeks ago you were calling it a triumph.
There were no cases of food poisoning at all.
Well, of course there were no cases of food poisoning at all. It was a lie.
Exactly, it was a lie. Charles, we cannot go on living from one short-term expedient to another.
Can't we? Well, that's my career buggered then.
It may be, Charles, it honestly may be. You must stop flying by the seat of your pants.
You know, I've always wondered about what that meant, you know. How do you fly by the seat of your pants?
Charles, once and for all, what the hell do we do about the bloody health service?
I saw 10,000 talkers whose tongues were all broken.
You're enjoying it. You're enjoying it again, aren't you, Martin? Martin Schadenfreude McCabe, vicar of St. Nasty the Gratuitous.
Oh, no, not really, Charles. But there is something rather comforting about reality breaking through occasionally. And perhaps it's true. Perhaps the times really are changing. The era of spin really is dead.
It's kept you in sherry and claret long enough, isn't it?
In which case, we must simply adjust to the new environment.
But I like the old environment. I knew where I was with lies, deception and filth. Martin, this is a purely hypothetical question, but if you were to bend your first-class mind round this problem...
Charles, I thought you'd never ask.
Are you actually suggesting that we tell the British people the truth Well, that's incredible. That's revolutionary.
And it's politically the right thing to do.
Let me just run through this. The PM goes on network television and he says, well, you know, the health service, we can't afford it.
Exactly.
Now, one answer is to bring in the private sector. But the British people have made it very clear they don't want that, and I'm never afraid to admit when I've made a mistake. Yes, he is.
Yeah, but this is first time for everything, the new politics.
And he goes on, hey, I'm a pretty straight kind of a guy.
Well, that's a bit of the old politics. It's a lie.
And I have to say this, tonight I am going to introduce the health tax. It's what Gordon would call hypothecated, but then he would. To you and me, it means that if each and every one of us pays just a few pounds a month, we can transform the nation's healthcare.
Exactly.
Who was it who said, there's no such thing as society? Tonight, you and I can lay that lie to rest forever. Let me say this. Take off your glasses and look deeply sincere.
Well, that's actually an instruction to the Prime Minister.
Oh, yes, sorry, sorry. Well, chaps, it's different. It's a gamble.
Well, isn't everything?
I'll give this to the PM, and then we'll all hold hands and hope for the best.
The Independent says, the PM's speech was radical, courageous and honest. Spin is dead. Long live the truth. Well done, PM.
He almost made the introduction of a new tax sound like something to be welcomed. This was a bravura performance from a master politician.
In yesterday's Guardian, we mistakenly asserted that Nye Bevan once played in the second row for Hull Kingston Rovers.
Oh, no, hang on, this one isn't so good. On this evidence, the nation may be suffering from TB for some time to come. Bloody Telegraph. Still, well done, Mark.
Thank you, Charles. You know, when I got my first in philosophy...
Yeah, not that well done.
Well, all right, but you know, there really is no substitute for clarity of mind.
Hello.
Yes, you do have a point.
Come in, come in. You know, Charles, do you think we've been a bit hard on young Clive?
Oh, I wouldn't say that.
Shut up.
In what possible sense have we been hard on young Clive?
Well, I've been thinking about young Sandy. You know, a bright, vivacious, ambitious young thing. We treated her like the office drudge.
Yes, whereas Clive came here as a graduate management trainee when he ought to be doing the photocopying. Clive, go and do some photocopying.
Certainly. And may I say how much I welcome this opportunity to develop my reprographic skills.
Shut up!
This came for you.
Downing Street is delighted. Congratulations, as usual, Archie.
Charles, you don't think we're going to have to keep telling the truth, do you?
Well, I've a feeling, Martin, we're going to be kept very busy. There'll be no shortage of work for Prentice McCabe. My dear chap, the end of Spin is the biggest bloody spin of all.
I suppose so.
You've been listening to Absolute Power by Mark Taverner, starring Stephen Fry and John Bird, with Tony Gardner, Siobhan Hayes, Tom George and David Timpson. The music was by Matthew Scott. The producer was Dawn Ellis.